Hello, and welcome to episode number 133 of PHP BB Weekly. I'm co-host Douglas Bell. This is our third annual clip show episode, featuring some of the most memorable clips of 2009. 2009 was a big year of transition for David and myself in our personal lives, which sometimes got in the way of fully dedicating ourselves to this podcast. However, 2009 had its share of great episodes as we continue to faithfully cover the PHP BB project, and most of these great episodes are represented in this episode as well. Of course, in order to keep this episode short, we couldn't include all of our favorites in this clip show, but you can find links to our runner-up moments in the show notes on our website. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the special look back at the past year in PHP BB Weekly.
Francis and I have a little surprise for everybody.
Oh boy. Cake? Ice cream? No, I had that.
No, that was last night.
Yes, it was.
So, Francis, go ahead and explain what this is about.
Okay, as most of you know, I have been running Scoff News for some time, although we have not had an episode in a long time. Anyway, as Scoff News, we have had some breaking news. There was an oil tanker that had an accident off the coast of Australia, and I'll give you more information about that a little later. With me I have Senator Collins, senator from Australia, who's we're going to interview about this oil tanker. So, Senator Collins, thank you for coming in.
It's a great pleasure, thank you.
The ship that was involved in the accident off West Australia this week.
Yeah, the one where the front fell off?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not very typical. I'd like to point that out.
Well, how is it untypical?
Well, there are a lot of these ships going around the world all the time, and very seldom does anything like this happen. I just don't want to people thinking that tankers aren't safe.
Was this tanker safe?
Well, I was thinking more about the other ones.
The ones that are safe?
Yeah, the ones where the front doesn't fall off.
Well, if this wasn't safe, why did it have 80,000 tons of oil on it?
Well, I'm not saying it wasn't safe. It just perhaps not quite as safe as some of the other ones.
Why?
Well, some of the others are built so that the front doesn't fall off at all.
Well, wasn't this built so the front wouldn't fall off?
Well, obviously not.
How do you know?
Well, because the front fell off, and 20,000 tons of crude oil spilled into the sea caught fire. It's a bit of a giveaway, and just like to make the point that it's not normal.
Well, what sort of standards are these oil tanks built on?
Oh, very rigorous maritime engineering standards.
What sort of things?
Well, the front's not supposed to fall off for a start.
What other things?
Well, there's regulations governing the materials that they're made of.
What materials?
Oh, well, cardboard's out.
And?
No cardboard derivatives.
Like paper?
No paper, no string, no sellotape.
Rubber?
No, rubber's out. They've got to have a steering wheel. There's a minimum crew requirement.
What's the minimum crew requirement?
One, I suppose.
So the allegations are just designed to carry as much oil as possible, no matter the consequences? I mean, that's ludicrous.
Absolutely ludicrous. They are very strong vessels.
So what happened in this case?
Well, the front fell off in this case, by all means. That's very unusual.
So now, Collins, why did the front fall off?
Well, a wave hit it.
A wave hit it?
A wave hit the ship.
Is that unusual?
Oh, yeah. See? Chance in a million.
A Google wave?
So what do you do to protect the environment in cases like this?
Well, the ship was towed outside the environment.
Into another environment?
No. It towed beyond the environment, not in an environment.
Yeah, but from one environment to another environment?
No, it's beyond the environment. It's not in an environment. It's been towed beyond the environment.
Well, what's out there?
There is nothing out there.
Well, there must be something out there.
There is nothing out there. All there is sea and birds and fish.
Guys.
And?
Guys.
And 20,000...
We lost talk show connection.
Did we lose talk show, Douglas?
Yes.
Yes, we did. You lost talk show.
I lost talk show.
The front fell off of TalkShoe. That's what happened.
The front fell off? That's very unusual.
How is that unusual?
Well, the front doesn't...
Okay, I'm about to put the front back on.
I still connected to TalkShoe.
I know, but it just dropped the audio. It dropped the audio. It dropped... TalkShoe dropped it.
TalkShoe dropped it?
Yes.
What? So I have to recall...
I'm going to have to hang up and recall...
Unless it disappeared on the talk show, but you were still called in. Boy, I don't think talk show is meant for senatorial use.
I guess not. Okay, let me hang up on talk show and recall it.
Yeah, you should do that.
Boy, this might be the one show that you actually have to edit.
No, just keep saying the front fell off, and it'll be fine.
The front fell off. Okay, let me try calling again. That's the call phones.
Those of you who are listening to the actual edited recording, I'm not going to edit this out, but we lost Top Shoot while the
that's
front
bad.
Kept falling off.
Should have let us finish. Okay. All right, it's going to put you guys on hold for a minute. All right, we're back on Talk Show.
Is that sure?
It said I was unmuted. Can you confirm? I can't confirm.
You're on.
Okay, good.
You're on.
Excellent. So I don't know where to start.
Okay, it's just Francis. You asked the senator. Is the senator is back with us now? How about Francis? You just catch up with your last question. Since when did this become a show about senators? I'd love to know.
Well, this is probably the first interview on record that had to be paused to deal with technical difficulties.
I'm sure. If anyone in the chat room has questions for the senator.
Senator Collins, you said there's this the place where the ship has been towed. You said there's nothing out there but seabirds and fish. And
yes, correct. And 20,000 tons of crude oil.
And what else?
And fire.
And anything else?
And the part of the ship that the front fell off, but there's nothing else out there.
Senator Collins, thank you for joining us.
It's a complete void.
Yes, we're out of time.
The environment's perfectly safe. I'm telling you, we're out of time.
Yes.
Well, thank you for having me.
Back to you, Bob.
Okay. We saved the best for last. This is the feature that made my jaw drop when I see this. If you know anything about PHP BB history, it is that the teams have always been adamantly opposed to the inclusion of a quick reply.
Religiously opposed.
Here's how opposed this was. I went back in the archives from Londonvasion last year. You'll recall we streamed one of the things live on this show. This is what was said about quick reply at Londonvasion not even a year ago.
Okay, so the first question comes from Hank the Cowdog. Will quick reply. Will quick reply ever be built into PHP?
No. Remember that disclaimer that we talked about?
We know where you live. We're coming now.
Okay.
And that was courtesy of Ash Neothermic. If you even mentioned quick reply during the invasion, they would come and send the FBI to apprehend you. And now, not only am I now reading this post, of all these new features coming in a maintenance release of PHP BB 3.0.x, the feature frozen PHP BB 3.0.x, but they spelled it out, Q-U-I-C-K-R-E-P-L-Y. Mike spelled it out on the blog, saying they are going to be including quick reply as an option in 3.0.6. 1, 2, 3. David, why?
Why? Because they're building this software for humans, believe it or not.
Yay!
But really, actually, was that the only answer that was given based on quick reply?
You went on to the next question after that. I listened.
This
to
is kind of this is the this is something. This
that
is the
was
most
you.
Interesting.
That was you asking that question on behalf of Hank the Cowdog, David.
Yeah, Hank the Cowdog just dropped into the chat. As a matter of fact, just after that play, after you played that.
I told him he had to join the show. Come on.
You told him he had to join the show.
Actually, I told him he had to come to lunch to was that, something else. Just kidding. Yeah, Hank, you were just starred on the show.
He'll have to go back and listen to it later.
That was my humiliating example that I wanted to get the teams on to defend themselves on for David.
Well, let me give you a little bit more.
Yes, let's do
You'll
it.
Like this.
Okay.
So for when PHPBB 2.2 was being conceived, of course, there was a lot of talk about, hey, is Quick Reply going to be in there?
Yeah.
No. It wasn't. 3.0 came, you know, it changed to 3.0. Quick Reply going to be in there? No, it's not.
No.
The teams, it was discussed back and forth all the time. It was probably the most common word on all of Area 51. I mean, you could search for the most common word. It would beat out PHPBB. Quick Reply would beat it out. SHS, whose name is John.
Sorry. John's
too
much fun.
Jonathan.
Stanley.
Oh, darn it. What?
Stanley?
Stanley, yes. I think that's it.
SHS?
Yes, SHS.
That's John Stanley.
Okay, so he was so fed up with all the topics about Quick Reply and all the posts about Quick Reply that he put a word sensor on it.
Yep.
That meant if you said Quick Reply, you were censored. Any topic that was created on Area 51 about that time, it was, if it had contained the word Quick Reply, it was locked on site. I mean, it was like,
welcome to How Not to Run a Development Community 101.
It was sort of the bane of PHPBB. It was sort of like, and I don't really know why this happened. There had to have been a reason for it. I know that the reason that they haven't wanted to add Quick Reply is the fact that it turns it too much into a chat board.
Yeah.
But that aside, it was requested too much to really ignore.
Yeah.
It was the most, and so it was like, okay, who ticked off a developer?
And then there were, you know, in the mod team, we had, for PHPBB 2, and I'm sure this is also true for 3, there's like 4 different Quick Reply mods. Now, granted, they vary. My favorite was one, I think it's used on phpbbhacks.com, just a very basic form. You would type it in, you know, and there were 2 checkboxes, attach a signature, or one to automatically quote the last post if you wanted to. Which did get a little annoying, but you know, it was great for, like, you know, forums that had, you've heard of the longest thread ever?
Okay, sort of.
Have you heard of the longest thread ever?
I don't know what it is,
it's
but
a,
I've heard
oh,
of it.
Oh, you've got to get more of these communities. It's the best. It was just a long random thread that was just, you know, just random conversation, and it was like, you know, I was on a number of communities back in 2005, and that was like the highlight of the thing. I just posted the longest thread ever. And you know, the Quick Reply, it was just nice, and you do it, and oftentimes it would move so fast because it really was like, but we wanted it to be like a chat type of conversation, and the Quick Reply was just so easy like that. And it was the easiest way in PHPBB2 to quote the last post automatically at the beginning for you. So I like that. Now, I've seen other Quick Replies that pretty much embed the entire reply form with all the smileys and BB code and all that stuff down there. I didn't like that. I don't like those as much. But you know, I was never against Quick Reply. Now I can live without it. But
yeah, I feel the same way. I'm not against Quick Reply. I've kind of, my feeling on it has been, wow, you know, that's a highly requested feature. Why don't they consider adding it? It's not really something that I needed, but I was always curious. But I kept my mouth shut anyways, because you just
wanted,
did.
They would say that they'd like to have some things for the mod authors to develop, and they thought that that was a feature that they could leave to mod authors.
Yes, exactly. That, and I was like, okay, that's all fine and good, but the posting API is really bad on 3.0.x.
Yeah,
it is. It's really bad. So you can't just make a simple mod and install that. You know, there's too much stuff is needed for that.
Sure.
to work properly and everything. But you know, there's a number of Quick Reply mods that did really well, as far as, you know, their functionalities and everything, and their various options. Lou 21's Quick Reply mod was the very first Quick Reply mod that we installed on Start to Guide. We actually don't have a quick reply mod on Start to Guide right now, but initially back in the day, we had a quick reply mod. And that was it was his quick reply mod. He made several different versions.
You're thinking of turning this one on when you upgrade to 3.0.6?
I probably will. Yes, and you know what we can do is make a minimum post or a minimum character requirement for quick replies so that you people aren't posting the LOL thanks and yes I agree posts.
Ah, you'll code that in. Well, this is what they said, what they're going to implement. Said they'll add quick reply as an option. It will be a form-specific setting connected to the can reply to post permission. It will only be shown in topics and not used for new topics. The quick reply option will be turned off by default for new forums. Option-wise, the quick reply implementation will be a bare-bone text area with no buttons, no options, no smileys. For this, the posting page is there. A quick reply feature should be used by people who know how to use BB Code and how to properly format their posts.
Yes, and really, it's, you know, if you want to...
I think that last sentence is kind of the most ironic one, because the people who do quick reply generally don't care about BB Code and stuff, but whatever.
Right, but it's still... you know how to use smileys, you know how to use BB Code.
Yep.
You know, people who are posting a lot. And a quick reply is meant to, you know, it will make support easier for support boards because you don't have to go to a whole nother page to post. There's a lot of things that it can help improve. And
here's another thing it can help improve, actual quick reply mods for mod authors who have quick reply mods that are more complex than this quick reply that's going into PHP BB3, they could, instead of having to reinvent the wheel by writing all their code that handles quick reply mod, just instead make the mod that enhances the built-in quick reply form, takes advantage of the current setting, the current permission, and that would make those mods a lot easier to write and install, simply by the fact that there is a mechanism now that's built into the 3.0.6 and beyond.
Mm-hmm. I got to read the first paragraph that they said here.
Yeah, you do that.
For humor. Quick reply. This is Mike talking, okay? For those of who have heard Mike talk, did you see the what I posted on Twitter? What was it, 2 weeks ago? About what I was going to make, the coffee mod just for Eric.
Oh yeah.
It had the little spout too. You have to use the USB wine spout.
USB wine. Where did I save?
I wanted one, David. Yeah. When does it come out?
I'm gonna.
You know, open source. It doesn't have release dates.
Oh, great! Yeah.
What would you do?
This USB.
It's the USB wine spout. If you just search for USB wine spout, it'll come up
with
Google.
For this episode, David, I bookmarked it, and it was when I was using Safari, and I got the beach ball again. So hold on.
Firefox will. Safari will, well, for you. I like it. But if it's doing things like hanging for 60 seconds, it's obviously not working well for you. But no, you could import all your bookmarks into Firefox. By the way, for those who don't know, Firefox 3.5 was released this week.
Yeah.
And it is so fast. I'm using it equally with Safari 4.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, Safari 4, it's I get beach balls and stuff on. The beta was good. I like the tabs on top. Just have to wait for Chrome or something like that to come up.
There was something wrong with your installation.
Maybe.
Because it doesn't do that on mine.
Here's the wine.
Incroyable. No?
Cet appareil est le USB Wine. Et c'est génial. Et maintenant, vous aussi, vous pouvez accéder à cette extraordinaire technologie depuis chez vous.
Eric's the only one that understands that.
Révolutionnaire.
I don't speak French.
They have a wine store.
Vous visitez les meilleurs vignobles dans le monde d'un clic de souris. Vous choisissez un vin et commencez le téléchargement. Votre vin se verse directement de l'USB Wine dans votre bouteille.
Et vous avez en plus l'étiquette. Wow.
Quel produit révolutionnaire.
There's no bottle, you download the wine.
Yeah, but they show you.
Commandez dès à présent votre USB Wine sur notre site internet et téléchargez vous-même vos vins préférés en direct des domaines.
L'USB Wine va changer vos dîners.
Rendez-vous dès maintenant sur www.usbwine.com et commandez votre USB Wine.
By the way, c'est USB Wine.
USB Wine. Yes, I like the French accents.
Here's the rip-off. The way they show it, you have to get this spout attachment, and you have to put it in a bottle, and then you have to print out the actual stickers. And it's like, the problem makes the wine cheap, but the spout attachment in the bottle and all that, that's probably the expensive part.
It's like a replicator. You know, you download the wine and it replicates it and goes out the spout.
No, this is more fun than that. The replicator, you just get the bottle. This gets you the fun of actually having to pour it out of the spout. So David, how do you propose to convert that into a coffee maker and make it a PHP BB mod?
Well, it's very simple. See,
they developed this in Perl.
All it is, it's converting what's the liquid that's downloaded, and it's spewing it out via the spout. So I figure if you can make it replicate coffee, then you can use the same spout, the USB wine spout, and PHPBB can make your coffee.
Well, tell me, if they can make a spout that connects to your computer with USB, how long till they make a USB eensy weensy spider?
Is that one that walks while it's plugged into your USB port?
Oh, well, you know, it goes up the eensy weensy spider walks up the USB spout. That was bad. Hey, weren't we talking about the support toolkit a while ago?
Yes, we were. And actually, I had a question about that.
Since Tom has limited time, let's just get right on into it. Tom, perhaps you can start by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the PHPBB project and the developers and things like that.
Okay, sure. I think my involvement started probably 2000, 2001 or something like that. I was building my own site and decided to put a forum on it. I didn't really know what I was going to talk about in the forum, but so I found PHPBB and then...
Isn't that how we all start? We start a forum and never know what it's going to be like.
Exactly, and so I put the forum on, but obviously the styling didn't match the site that I was putting together, so I kind of started hacking through the code and saw all these font tags everywhere and all this sort of stuff, and it was a real pain to try and make that work with my site design, so I thought, well, I'll start stripping all those bits out and applying a bit of CSS to it, and that kind of worked okay, but... And the forum kind of fitted in with the rest of my site design and everything else. And then I think it was a little bit after that, Paul, who was kind of running the show at that point, he sort of commented on the CSS version that I'd done and basically invited me to try a design for the next version of it. So that's kind of how I got into the whole thing.
And that's Paul, PSOTFX?
Yeah, and it's one of these kind of funny usernames that I never know actually how you pronounce that loud. So you always have kind of a mental pronunciation, but then when you actually try and say it in real life, it doesn't quite sound right. But yeah,
we've been dealing with that on the show ever since we started.
And at the time I was just writing up my PhD and working from home, doing a bit of freelance stuff, so I had a lot of time available to kind of hack around with this sort of thing and. So I don't know how long it took the subserver design, but it was a fair amount of work to get that going.
It's interesting because I've been going back and I wasn't around at the time with PHPBB, but it's been said to me that subserver kind of has defined what a lot of forums use as sort of their general layout at this point. And so I'd kind of be interested to know. Some of the thought that went behind when you were designing the layout that would become subsilver.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, the forums, the big forums around were the vBulletin was still kind of the big commercial one, obviously, and then there's the Envision board thing, and there's some of the kind of CGI old school forums as well, and they all had the very sort of same layout, very tabular. And they all kind of looked the same. And I thought, well, none of them were really taking advantage of CSS. And it was still something that people were starting to get to grips with. It wasn't as widely used, obviously, as it is now. And so, I just kind of found that you could put a little gradient background on table cells, and that suddenly changed the whole image of the forum. And suddenly, after we released it, kind of a preview of that, everyone else is copying that, which is quite fun. But yeah, it seemed to have quite an influence afterwards, which is nice.
David, do you have any question?
Well, yeah.
He's so excited.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. You were also in charge of building ProSilver for PHBB3, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I mean, it's a slightly different approach taking with that because I think with SubSilver, because at the time it was pretty different to the other designs that were going around, and mm-hmm. and then because it was launched before the forum was fully launched, a lot of people copied it, and I think there's a bit of a feeling that our thunder was stolen in a way with the release of the forum. So with ProSilver, it's very much undercover for quite a long period of time. I think it's about 2004 I started working on that in terms of looking at a completely different approach, removing all tabular layout and actually using proper markup where it's appropriate. And we also kind of looked at things like, well, is it necessary to have the avatar on the left-hand side? Because that's the first thing you see. Should the discussion actually be the most important thing? So that's the first thing you see on the left-hand side. So we move the avatar to the right and had a look at how we actually navigate the forum and organize everything else. So everything was basically looked at in detail, which is one of the reasons why it was such a long time to since kind of conception before release for that. So I think it was it was probably about a year or something that was kind of undercover in terms of the ProSilver design. Mm-hmm. So it was very, very much a kind of a stealth operation for a while. And we had a forum online that kind of the key developers were had access to, and I was kind of posting updates to the design and things as I worked on it. But it was a pretty big job.
It was around the time I was on the team, and it was so secret.
Yeah. It was so secret. You guys didn't really even know about it, did you, Douglas?
No. In fact, there were some of the people who did know about it who would, try to, make us jealous all the time. Teams have changed a bit since then.
Yeah, a little. So, the ProSilver, obviously, that was a style that it was kind of interesting. It was a polarizing style. Mm. People hated it or they loved it. It was kind of interesting.
A few weeks ago, about when it was on one of the most controversial things at the time when it came out in 2007 was moving the user info on the right side, and a lot of people, insisted they liked it better on the left. These days, more we seem to have other forums that are now copying that and putting the info on the right side, so it's becoming more popular in a way.
Yeah, it is very much a matter of taste like that. But I mean, one of the advantages of the newer design was the fact that it was all CSS driven in terms of the layout and everything else as well. You could very easily move it across, just changing a few styles. Whereas before, you'd have to actually kind of look into the code and change all the markup and everything else like that. So it was a much bigger deal. But yeah, I mean, even now, sometimes I prefer it on the left, sometimes I prefer it on the right. It's sort of, I can easily see why that was a bit of discussion at the time.
Yeah, I remember when we had just switched over to a ProSilver on phpbb.com, and I was talking with Naderman at the time, Nils Aderman, and I said, "Molly, I'm not sure if I really like this ProSilver." He's like, "Give it a couple of weeks, you'll like it." And he was right. And I think that happened with a lot of people, where they were so used to everything being on the left, and so shifting everything over, it was kind of like, people walking with a cane, and all of a sudden you took the cane and put it on the other hand, and they're still trying to walk with it on the one hand.
That's an interesting analogy, David.
they're stumbling around because they're expecting the cane to be on the right hand, and it's actually on the left now. So it was sort of that sort of thing with ProSilver. People were trying to get used to it, but I think it's really worked by now. Most people, I think, prefer ProSilver over even a lot of the other table designs. But it was certainly one of the big things that I really liked about it was the fact that it was just pure CSS driven design and not
not the table design, which was nice because tables were never meant for design.
No, exactly.
So was the development team the only team that actually had access to ProSilver at the time,
it was pretty much just the development team. There's quite a lot of discussion in terms of the approaches, but ultimately it was a case that in a way it was quite nice because I had free rein in terms of doing what I thought worked best, and then there's feedback in terms of saying that works or that doesn't work. And but it was nice because there weren't really any sort of set guidelines to doing it. It was just do something and then get the feedback and then iterate it, which worked pretty well.
Also, kind of probably with PHP PB3, there's certainly more flexibility in the templating system that you're probably able to take advantage of quite nicely.
I mean, there was quite a lot of to-ing fro in terms of needing extra things. Because the templating system originally was fairly basic, but then having proper loop support and proper conditionals and all that sort of thing really helped kind of add the extra features that I thought should be there that we want in the templates.
So let me ask you this, going back to the beginning, sort of, when you started working with PHPBB.
In the beginning.
How did you end up actually working with the teams, working with the development teams? How did they invite you to the teams?
Originally it was from seeing what I'd done with version one of PHPBB on my site, and then I started being involved in the community and then sort of created some initial sort of designs that I just posted up onto the forums, and I said, oh yeah, we like that. Can we sort of have some more of that or work with that? And so I kind of got in that way. I think it's like anything really. If you sort of show an idea and a bit of commitment to kind of developing it and working with the other people, then they sort of invite you and take you on board and just take it from there.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And that was, I think that's how a lot of people obviously were invited to the teams at the time, was that
they
were really working and contributing a lot to the board, and the team would take notice and say, "Hey, you know, want to join the team?"
Exactly.
Those were very early days at that time. At that point, so if you got noticed, that was quite a big deal. You know, personally, I still have a place in my heart for SubSilver. Something about the blue and orange.
I'm not sure that Douglas has ever completely let go of PHPBB2.
Well, either. Actually, I have, but I still like SubSilver.
Yeah.
So, without further ado, let the April foolery begin. Hello, and welcome to Gourmet BB, the cooking for your community, the one and only cooking show for your PHP BB. And yes, I'm very serious about this. And the chat room is in shock. Let's wait for the theme music to go by. That's right, today is Gourmet BB, cooking for your community, the one and only cooking show just for you and your PHP BB communities. And I am very doggone serious about this today. Today we're going to be making one of the most sought-after delicacies of any community or just any group of people whatsoever, chocolate cake. That's right, this is my signature community chocolate cake. It's chocolate cake with your community baked right in, and we're going to be cooking it live here on the podcast. Now, most cooking shows that I am aware of actually do video.
I'm not doing video. I don't exactly have the equipment for that. So you're just going to have to take my word that there is actually ingredients here. Which we're going to be going through the process of making a delicious chocolate cake with your community baked right in. And you can feel free to work, pop along and complete these recipes for yourself. And Eric, I am absolutely not kidding. So, and you will hear that very, very shortly. I have actual cooking equipment. So, chocolate cake, absolutely a delicious, delicious recipe. There's a lot of different ways to get some of this off my wooden spoon. And this is the part where you're actually going to want to get out your electric beaters in order to help get this mixed together. So I'm just going to do a little scraping. And I'm going to get, I'm going to get my electric beater set up here. So I've got my electric beaters, and this is how I wanted to prove that, yes, I am indeed actually making a chocolate cake for those of you doubters who are still listening to the audio and don't believe this is actually a chocolate cake. So if I don't blow a fuse, then this should work out pretty well. You're going to want to beat this on a medium speed for about 2 minutes in order to get it nice and well mixed. But it's a good idea to, you know, start out at a lower speed so you don't get powder flying everywhere. Get it nice and well mixed, then get it going medium for about 2 minutes. So I don't know how well the audio will hold up recording an electric beater, but let's just go ahead and have some fun. Here we go. There we are. Let's get the powder mixed first. Just make it a little thick. All right. Oh, this is why you gotta go slow. Start. All right, now let's get it higher. Here we go. 2 minutes, here we are. So now we're starting to get to a nice creamy consistency. It smells very good. I wish that podcast came with smell-o-vision. We are. Oh, there's nothing in life like chocolate cake batter. Oh boy. Now, when you're about midway through the beating, you could actually start to throw in some users in here. Obviously, users are very important to your batter because users are the foundation of your community, and this batter is the foundation of your cake. But maybe you should actually wait to put the users in until after the beaters go, because, you know, if you start beating up users, that's bad. Very bad. All right, I got about 30 seconds left on here. It's starting to get very thick, but not too bad. I've never done this with headphones on before. Oh boy. Oh yeah. And finally, we are done. And there we go. That's our nice looking batter right there. Let's just get some, clean the whisks off just a little bit. Okay. That's our good looking batter right there. Let's go ahead and unplug. I said, let's go ahead and unplug. There we go. We're going to take the beaters off. And this is my favorite part. Whoops. Dropping it. Yes, that's a good idea. Of course, my favorite part is letting the lick the beaters. Hey, Scott, you want to lick one?
Yeah.
Brother's over here. He'll help me with one, and I get to do a... Oh, boy. Careful, this does have raw egg in it, so when you lick beaters, be careful how you're doing it. When you're done with that, get me back here, Scott, and I'll put it in my waste container. Here we go. It's the best part of cooking. You know, lick the beaters. All right. While you're licking your beaters, you're also going to want to boil up 1 cup of water. Get 1 cup of fresh boiling water. You're going to pour that into.
We sometimes we do Mon Styles of the Week for Mon Styles, and David, we don't.
Sorry. Happy
birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Douglas. Happy birthday to you.
That's great. How did they find out?
I'm back. They apparently, unlike me, use Facebook.
Oh, that's funny. That means that I won't have to do it because I just recorded all that.
Oh, no.
That's funny.
But that doesn't make any sense.
That was perfect timing. That was absolutely perfect timing. How many people were there? It sounded like 1,000 people.
it's like the entire, our floor is divided into two. There's a north side and a south side. So I'm on the north side. This is like the entire north side of the floor. Wow. I'd say about 25 people there. They gave me a card and everything. They put a thing on my door. They're baking a cake tonight.
Oh, that's great. That's funny. Oh, I love that. That's great.
Are you still recording this?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, for those of you listening, you probably figured out that we recorded this.
There is one other thing we wanted to, I know this is going to be a long show, which we're not going to do a modern style this week. There is another topic I did want to discuss, though.
Oh, dude, don't tell me that's your theme song.
No, but, you know, I had to do something. But...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, the chat room goes wild. Yes, this is going to come to a true fruition, a PHP BB meetup in the San Francisco Bay Area, specifically in beautiful San Jose, California. It is going to. I am organizing it. PHP BB Weekly is co-branding with it, just because it's my show and I can do that. And it's going to be coinciding with the O'Reilly Open Source Convention, also known as OSCON, which is happening during the week of July 20 to 24, 2009, in San Jose, California. And so, in true PHP BB fashion, it is going to be called OSCONvasion. And that's actually the first time I've had to say that out loud. I've typed it plenty of times, but OSCONvasion, that's fun to say, actually. You're supposed to saying Londonvasion. So, yeah, this is what's going to be involved in OSCONvasion. And
so I guess let's just do a little introduction. This is we're calling this OSCONvasion, which is... Is it fourth or fifth ever PHP BB meetup? What would you say, David?
Well, they have had quite a few in Germany.
Quite a few in Germany. This is probably the first one in North America, though.
Yes, this is the first one in North America.
The first real PHP BB meetup in North America.
That we know of.
And OSCONvasion is co-sharing with OSCON as the building communities with, creating communities with PHP BB, BOF session. Which normally stands for Birds of a Feather Session. We're going to call it Birdies of a Feather Session, I think. We'll do that for it. My name is Douglas Bell. For those of you who don't know, I co-host the PHP BB Weekly podcast, which covers PHP BB. I helped have organized this event here, and I'm a former mod team member from a few years ago. And I also want to thank very much a bunch of people who came here. And let's go around. Over here is, to my immediate right, Francis Lewis, known on the forums as Handyman. And to his right, David Lewis, known on the forums as Highway of Life. David co-hosts the show with me. These are, both Francis and David are recently retired mod team members, briefly. They're also on the QA team.
But somehow I don't feel retired.
Because we keep bringing you back.
Oh, we're actually quite tired, but not retired.
They drove all the way from Spokane to get here. And a big thanks to David, who also brought down a lot of who helped organize some of the equipment. To his right now is Adam Ryer, who is a longtime support team member. How many years?
Approaching five.
5 years. And he's also brought a lot of equipment. He is running the video for us as well. Let's just go around and introductions. I don't know if I can pass a mic around. Can you pass the mic around?
I sure can. I have to have people come up here, I think.
Yeah. Come on. Get some exercise.
So we are representing the mod team, the support team, and
the moderator
team today.
For PHPBB.
And, of course, the former members team, the QA team,
mm-hmm.
and the customization database team.
You could introduce the members that are here.
Over there on the netbook is Colin, who's brainy on the website, moderator team. Nathan, X-Reaction, on the site, who's in the mod team. Can't forget you on the mic because we're streaming, but why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
If there's anything, for example, you wanted to know about a few team members who are sitting here, now's a good time to ask.
I accept bribes.
That was Colin on the record. For PHPBB, one of the things that we have been working on, or that we want to work on, and we've been having discussions with the group of us today about, is really trying to extend PHPBB's community reach. We compare ourselves a little bit with some other open source projects, many of which we've seen here, that are similar to us, PHP-based, website-based, that actually do a lot of community outreach in real life beyond just their websites and perhaps IRC channels, which is about the extent that PHPBB has done. We just mentioned this is our first real event in North America, and total number of events you can probably count on the fingers of one hand. And I don't know if you guys wanted to discuss a little bit about, ideas in terms of trying to make it easier to, or better, get the community better engaged outside of the .com forums.
Well, if any PHPBB users would like to set up their own meetup, they definitely are welcome to. You don't need to be a .com team member in order to organize your own meetup with people that might be interested in using PHPBB. I mean, if you can just get five people together, people that doesn't... We have eight people together here. And just, if someone's interested in learning how to set up their own forum, how to use PHPBB in any way, that's one of the best things you can help do to spread the reach of the community.
And also, please feel free to contact us about setting up your local meetup, as we may be able to help depending on the location.
We do try a lot to get community involvement, and I was actually at OSCAM yesterday to sort of wing the presentation on this, and I'm very curious to get some input from you guys. And we've been doing more of this with the modding and style community, people who come on together and offer support on the forums, bug tracker and style and security tracker submissions. Thoughts on, because we try to get more community involvement and practice what we preach when we're a product about creating communities.
One of the things that I would like to hear from the users is what they would like to see from not only the product, as far as what features they would want in the product. And I know we actually get that a lot. We get a lot of, you know, I'd like to see this feature and this feature and this feature. And
how long until the next version comes out? It'll be done when it's done.
Speaking of the next version, they've been hauling like crazy on the 3.0.6. And for those who are kind of out of the loop with the release process for the PHPBB, 3.0.5, which is the current live version, the current stable version, was released at the end of May, May 31st. June 7th, they posted a blog post on PHPBB.com blog that outlined the next feature release for PHPBB. It was PHPBB 3.0.6, and it was going to be a feature release, which was really shocking to a lot of people.
Breaking all precedent.
Because they had stated before in the beta version of PHPBB 3 that it was then feature frozen, which meant no new features were going to be added to PHPBB 3. But it really hasn't been completely feature frozen. They've added quite a few, but this one was a dedicated feature release for PHPBB in 3.0.x line. And they said that they were going to try and get a release out, the next release, or an RC, out in 2 to 3 months from that blog post, June 7th. And they outlined a list of, oh, how many features or so would you say?
About 10 or so.
In 10 or a dozen or so features. And
some of them are kind of minor, some of them are major. Like, you know, the quick reply feeds are probably the biggies.
Mm-hmm. And since then, let's see, it's been about... Six weeks
about
since that blog post, and they have all but maybe one of those features now in the core. And I think the one feature that's missing is the searching ability in the logs, and part of that is actually there already.
One thing that you got the teams, and I'm not a team member myself, so I speak of this as an outsider and someone who covers it, but they've been launching these junior teams with junior mod validators, junior developers, which are a way to get some members of the community a bit more involved without perhaps being full-fledged members, full-fledged developers or full-fledged mod validators. They can become get involved, offer their contributions through a sort of a mentored process. And that has certainly for the development team, it's greatly expanded the number of people working on the core code. Same is true for mod validators who, we'll explain for people who aren't familiar, mods are short for modifications, which are people
plugins
can sort of like plugins, except it's kind of edits more core code, but it's for adding features. And community members who are developers can develop mods or modifications to be added to PHPBB. And as a service, the PHPBB teams have a mod team. They will receive mods that are submitted, actually review them just to see that they meet the standards, that are they're secure, that they actually work, and then release them on a database on phpdb.com. And the same is true. We have a styles team that do that as well. So they've been working. By bringing junior developers and junior mod validators, we're able to get a lot more community involvement that way.
Yeah, and this is between 3.0.5 and 3.0.6 is the most active development I've seen of the PHPBB 3 line in since beta 1 was released.
Yeah.
And before, sometimes it would go 6 months before you'd see the next release, and you'd have, 80 or so changes in the change log. Well, now they're over 100, and it's only been 6 weeks. So you can see how the development has really sped up since adding the junior developers, and getting their contributions to the product has been extremely valuable, at least from a user standpoint.
They get to do the bug fixes while the developers get to go write the features.
Right. It's important. And the other, they write the bug fixes, and all the development team has to do is go through and approve the patch that they're submitting. So that it makes their job a lot easier. So they don't have to be spending all their time on developing the product, which because we all do this in our spare time. We're not employed by PHPBB, so it's all dependent on how much spare time you have to work on the project. So it's been extremely helpful to have a lot of different people contributing from different sources, and when you get activity like that, it really encourages more activity from even the developers that are there. So I think we'll see a 3.0.6 RC release, I'm guessing within the next month, even sooner than May.
Did any of you guys want to say anything?
Well,
Nathan, you haven't said anything at all today.
Well, one second. Obsidian is about to leave in the chat room, but I wanted to get a question that was asked a while ago covered.
Okay.
Back when we were talking about moderators and helping with the forum. No, don't leave yet. It's not time for night yet, peeps.
Just ask
sorry.
The question.
He had asked, so what do you do when you have a you need to be professional and kind of welcome to users, but what do you do when you have a situation that's serious? You don't want to lose face, but you want to make it clear you don't want to tolerate the rule that was offended. And unfortunately, depending on the community, you need to make that public to the community, which normally means you have to ban the user. Now, that is the last resort drastic thing to do, but if someone really is causing problems in a community, and that can mean trolling, that can mean just posting obscene messages, or can just mean creating a feel that makes new users unwelcome and is slowly sucking the life out of your community, sometimes that's the only thing that you can do. And it's unfortunate, but that's your only course of action. So, yeah.
Hopefully that answered the question.
Oh, sorry. So I guess one thing, as we start to close up, I would guess, for someone who wants to become more involved in the community, what would I just get, maybe go down the line, what do you think is the best way for people to become more involved in PHPBB if they want to be able to make contributions the way that team members and other community members do?
Okay, I'll jump in on that. If you feel that you can help provide support for PHPBB, go in and provide support. If you feel that you're better at maybe developing new features and you have some good ideas, go do modding. If you feel that you have some great designs, you can help out with styles. There are plenty of things that you can do, and even some stuff that if you're not sure what you can do, you're welcome to ask, and we might be able to point you in a direction where you'll really be able to help the PHPBB project. Yeah. What?
Quality assurance
as yeah. Well. Just downloading the latest commits from the SVN repository.
There's a mailing list for quality mm-hmm. assurance you can sign up for. So whenever mm-hmm. they release RCs, to help make sure that our things are good. Mm-hmm. We have an inside joke about quality assurance that we won't get to here. I'll save that for the podcast.
Yeah, the quality assurance is definitely very valuable because that team. This is David, by the way. Some people were asking on the chat who was talking. This is David, Highway of Life.
Previously, it was me, Cullen Breen.
So the QA team is very important to PHPBB right now because it means less that the development team has to do to go through and test all their patches and bug fixes and things like that to make sure that they are working and that the next release is going to be completely stable. So that's a very valuable team that everyone is given a specific task. We'll test this part of the system, test that part of the system, and when everybody comes together and says, okay, these couple of things not working right, and they fix those, and then they were able to release a stable product. So since they added the QA teams, I would say that PHPBB 3 has increased in its stability as far as releases go. It's a lot more stable. There's not annoying bugs that you would find in a lot of other software. With PHPBB, it's fairly stable, so that's nice. That's a great thing.
Mm. Last slot, unless we have any more questions from online or here. But what do you think PHPBB can do going forward to get more community involvement in ways that we haven't done yet? Just early, premature, speculative thoughts. Because I know you guys have, team member discussions that you kind of like to keep private. But Adam.
Well, as was said with Mike Bowen, if you are an active member of PHPBB, you can focus on your area of specialty. What PHPBB would like to do as a result is essentially get more people on board.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily in terms of a team member sense, although that would be great, but in terms of letting the community know as a project essentially what we need, what areas need improvement, what areas are lacking in terms of whether it's code, whether it's website, whether it's events and meetings and things like that, and essentially letting people step up to the plate and say, hey, I have an idea, I have a suggestion, or I have a skill set, I have an ability, they can contribute to this as well.
So going forward, I think PHPBB would like to essentially let the community be a little bit more transparent with the community and let them know what our needs are and where we can put what we've done and what our goals are, and essentially allow them to help contribute. So from the outside perspective, because I'm a former mod team member and now I'm a QA team, so I can look from the sort of an outside perspective and say what I wish the PHPBB team would do without getting slapped. Slapping is
oh, we know you're listening.
For those who are unfamiliar with that term, it's a term we use on IRC when somebody slaps you. It's a teasing thing. Anyway, what I would like to see from the PHPBB teams is to look at the community as more of a potential involvement and not as far as adding them to the teams, but to say, okay, if somebody wants to contribute to PHPBB in a way that they're not currently contributing, and say, okay, you know what, I want to contribute to this project. Mm-hmm. And the PHPBB team say, okay, that'd be great, yes. What is your skill set? What are you good at? What are you good at doing? You know, you might have people who are good at marketing or are good at PR, who are good at testing who are good at a various array of things that I can't even, you know, I'm not even thinking about right now, but who are good at that sort of thing, and then be able to utilize their talents. And they don't have to be on the PHPBB teams to utilize those kinds of talents, but to be able to endorse them and encourage them and give them the material and the resources that they would need to mm-hmm. be able to contribute to the community with their skill set.
I hate using myself as an example, but I'm going to. You know, I spent 9 months on the mod team, stopped doing it because I didn't have the time commitment. Started up the podcast that is now PHPBB Weekly. It's unofficial. It's not affiliated with the teams, but it was something new. It filled an open niche, and quite frankly, we've gotten a lot of support from team members. I have, anyway, and then David came on board, and it's now quite successful. And also being able to put on events like this, we were able to convince the teams to give us some mention on their official forums to recognize, you know, we are doing some stuff for the community, not because we can, not because we're getting paid for it, but because PHPBB gave something good to us, we want to give something good back. And it's not an official capacity, but it's worth having some recognition.
Hello, welcome to PHPBB Weekly, episode number 98 for Saturday, February 14th, 2009, Valentine's Day, or as Michael always likes to remind us, Singles Awareness Day,
also known as SAD.
And in honor of SAD, we've got a nice little opening for us here. Couldn't resist.
From the blackened finger papers to the magazines of shame, where art is just a rumor in the meat market of fame. I have stood up to be counted, but my number's been denied. I am always the bridesmaid, never the bride. The bride will be resplendent on a glorious day of days, while the bridesmaid's drunk and weeping, leaping for that blessed bouquet.
Boy.
I have wept and drunk too, but the flowers I caught had died. I am always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Happy Singles Awareness Day, David.
Okay.
Do you know how hard it is to find that song?
Why? Well, I've never heard it. Well, what is it?
Always a bridesmaid and never a bride?
Yeah, well, who is it by?
This one, the only person on iTunes that had something even remotely close to it.
So that song is played by a lot of people?
I don't know who originated it. I was just looking for it, and just the only thing that's had close is most of these are weird rock things that sound nothing like the original. Even this one's not the original. Wrong lyrics and stuff, but whatever.
Wrong lyrics?
Yeah, it's different lyrics. Yeah. Yes.
I do not recognize it at all.
Michael's not joining us in the chat room, but Michael, if you're listening to this, happy Singles Awareness Day. That was for you.
Just for techie.
Yeah, this is, for everyone else who's a little more sane, happy Valentine's Day. I just couldn't resist. I wanted to do something a little more interesting after last week's, you know, kind of a very super serious episode we had talking about all this stuff. We thought, let's calm down a bit. Mm-hmm. A little calming wishing of whatever.
We're back to normal.
Back to normal.
Didn't 5.3
just come out this week. Yes, it did.
That's actually interesting. I thought we should mention that because 5.2 actually, I didn't know it was this long ago. 5.2 came out in November of 2006, mm-hmm. before PHP Weekly started. And it's interesting that, you know, I was also then going to read the PHP manuals on object-oriented programming now that the book kind of helped me make a little more sense of it. And there's actually some things that they're kind of changing. Namespaces, I guess, whatever.
Yeah, namespaces, late static bindings, which deal with the issue of not being able to basically override classes. You can't override static classes with a child object. And so that's always been sort of an issue.
You would have to use the scope object operator, which I found out has this weird Hebrew name. How do you pronounce that?
Francis knows.
Francis?
Oh my gosh, you're going to make me try to pronounce that. Okay, tell you what, can you give me the spelling of it? Let me see if I can find it.
Scope resolution operator. Scope resolution operator. It's on Wikipedia, I think.
It's like Palmaeum Nucodotium or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
You're pronouncing it in English way.
I don't speak Hebrew.
Palmaeum
Nucodotium, maybe?
Now say it faster.
Palmaeum Nucodotium.
There you go, that was it.
Alright, a cookie to the first person who can say Palmaeum Nucodotium 5 times fast.
It's always funny when that shows up in parse errors.
Oh yeah,
especially if you don't know what it is. It's like, oh my god, what have I done?
I had that unexpected T pacayum nekudoteum in line whatever.
You're like, okay, here it is. I'm posting it in Skype.
You're like, okay, unexpected what? Oh yeah, thanks, man. That's
it could be worse. Yeah, no kidding,
Francis. It could,
that cleared it up for me.
Thank you, Francis. What if PHP errors actually gave you the Hebrew spelling of that? That would be even scarier.
Okay, here it is. Palmagem neca. Let's see. Neca dotagem. Palmagem neca dotagem. Yeah. I think that's what it is.
What does that actually mean in Hebrew?
Double colon.
Double colon. Okay.
It means twice colon or double colon in Hebrew.
Yeah, it's like maybe, I don't know, maybe one of the guys who was writing PHP that day had a bar mitzvah or something.
Well, the company that runs PHP is Hebrew.
Yeah, Zend, right?
Yep.
I say we write them and tell them that they're due for a double colonoscopy.
Douglas, you know that like several of the words used in Star Wars were from like German and other languages, right? Like Vader.
Oh,
it's spelled V-A-T-E-R though.
Oh. Yeah. But anyway,
you know what? I don't think that pronunciation is correct because in Hebrew, J's are pronounced Y.
Yeah.
Pronounced as Y's. So like Jonathan. Would be like Jonathan. Or Yanni for short.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I don't think this pronunciation is correct.
Sorry. I can attempt different accents, but really the only accent I'm really good at is my Elmer Fudd accent. And my Swedish chef accent.
Top your accent? Yes. Mmm.
Yeah, okay. All right. For the sake, in order to avoid Hebrew Weekly, I'll say, you know, when I first was looking at object-oriented programming, or classes. We've got a special guest joining us on this show today, not actually from the PHPBB community, so you probably aren't very familiar with her, but a good friend of mine. I'd like to give a big welcome to Laurel Van Fossen.
Yay! Hey, guys.
Hi, Laurel.
Hey, David.
Hey, Dougie, my baby love. Hey, I missed you so much. We didn't catch up. We didn't have our date this year.
No, that's not it.
We're at Camp San Francisco.
Yeah.
You missed camp this year, Doug?
I missed it because they scheduled the work camp. When I saw this, I was like, darn it.
It was your graduation.
The day after my graduation. I was on San Francisco Bay till 3 a.m. the morning before. And it was like, no way I'm going to go to sleep for 3 hours and then hightail up to a full, involved day at work camp. I said, no way.
Wasn't that the day where we did the podcast that day, didn't we?
That was the day you did the front fell off skit, David.
Yes, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Laurel, I'll send you the link to that because that was good.
Oh, that sounds great.
The interview with a senator from Australia, but that's not why we have you here.
We had to do the video version of that, Doug.
Oh, you actually did that?
No, we should.
Oh, dear. Can't wait.
I think that would be hilarious.
Yeah, in the past, though, Douglas and I have had dates at Work Camp San Francisco for the last few years. And so I really, really missed you, Douglas. I really did. We had fun without you, but it wasn't quite as much fun.
Whatever you say. We'll get into the story. It's interesting. Laurel is actually coming, David. Laurel is coming from Oregon. I'm in California.
Oregon.
You're in Washington. Yeah.
Okay, and so what part of Oregon?
Well, I'm just outside Portland, Oregon, in the lovely town of North Plains, which just celebrated last weekend the very, very world-famous Elephant Garlic Festival.
Ooh.
That's special.
Garlic. <It is. laughs> I think we don't know who likes garlic and who doesn't.
Yeah. Well,
I don't have a problem with garlic.
Yeah, but
Douglas.
We are international, and in the neighboring town, this coming weekend is a very exciting monster combine festival where combines will race and then have a demolition derby. Whee!
Great. Well, since this podcast has already gone downhill in 3.5 minutes, here's a little...
You know, it's always fun with me.
Here's a little history. This is good. Well, how we got to know Laurel. This is back in 2007, Word Camp. This is actually around the time, David, you joined the show. I was actually at Word Camp San Francisco with my other podcast. It no longer exists, but it was called PreviewCast. And, covered the show and actually covered the event there and tried to do sort of a little side podcast meetup. And, just trying to pick in a separate room, trying to pick a time. And I inadvertently picked the time for... Laurel's presentation at WordCamp. I had no idea.
So let me tell the funner version.
Go ahead.
The funner version is we are racing around. It is 1,000 degrees. There's sweat pouring off of all of the people that are, Maya Desai and all the rest of the people, Matt and everybody Matt was off doing whatever, but the rest of us were running around, WordPress people. We're running around like crazy and trying to get everything going. And we're heading, finally, everything is coming together. And this young man walks up and says, I need some scotch tape so I can put this sign up on the wall that we're going to be having this podcast meetup at 1 o'clock or whatever time it was. I said, really?
David, you see where the idea for OSCON invasion came from, huh?
Yeah.
I said, if you're going to have a meeting like that, you need me to be there. He said, well, come. I said, I can't. I'm speaking. Exactly. He had no idea who I was.
Uh-huh.
So, I made it really clear that that was not going to happen. And so Douglas was very brave and did change the time to about 20 minutes into my program. So I had this vision that we were going to announce that 20 minutes into my program that there was going to be a podcast meeting. I was going to watch half the audience get up and walk out. So I was not thrilled. Plus, I wanted to be at the meeting because I think I'm boring. And we did announce it, and luckily nobody walked out, but I worked overtime to make sure those butts stayed in my chairs for my talk.
Meanwhile, I'm in the room upstairs seeing if anyone's going to come and say hi, and then the audience is making sounds, just getting the audience to know oohing and awing.
But we had a good time anyway, because
this is a blogging conference, and people are laughing. What?
Yeah. You're
not supposed to be laughing.
Oh, we did have a great time. And as a consequence, I gave him a very exclusive and very fun interview. So we had a really good time. And then a month or so later, I can't remember later, I had moved. I finally moved to Oregon, and maybe I was in Oregon at the time. I don't know. I think I just moved. Anyway, I then got in my motorhome. It was snowing like crazy, and we had no electricity up where I was staying. So I was in my little tiny motorhome, and I drove down to a nearby hotel and stood in there stealing their Wi-Fi and doing our next fabulous interview.
And there will be a link to that interview on the show notes for this show, because that was a great show we did.
It was really fun, and I was so freaking cold. I was jumping up.
You did
I had
not
my
tell
headphone,
us that be that.
Headphone microphone on. I'm parked outside this hotel, and I'm jumping around doing jumping jacks and dancing and doing all these things, trying to stay warm while we were doing the interview. It was really, really funny. So that was a really good time, and I really appreciated that. That was really fun. We covered everything. It was great. So what are we going to cover on this podcast?
Well, the reason we
this
got...
has already been insanely entertaining.
Yeah, David, I told you you'd want to be on the show. Well, we are going to talk about something, but something just came up that I want to mention. It has nothing to do with you, Laurel. Well, not that much.
Okay.
Literally.
Fingers and ears.
No, you can still listen. 20 minutes ago, David will know about this. David, you remember we were at OSCON, right? Actually... No, I'll tell Laura you were at, because it pertains. I actually put on a PHP meetup event about a month ago in San Jose, coordinated with the OSCON, Open Source Convention, that took place in San Jose. And David was there, and about 10 of us were there, and it was really great. And we had sort of a meetup thing. And we got to go around OSCON together in the exhibit hall and all that.
Yes, and it was a long drive to get there.
Yes, David drove all the way here from Washington and back.
Yeah, from Spokane, Washington. Not just Washington, Spokane, Washington.
So
I have family there. Lovely.
So, but David, you'll recall when we that at the OSCON Expo Hall, they did this passport thing, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah, now I apparently got mine on the Wednesday, and they ran out, so you guys couldn't do it, which is a shame, I think. But, oh well. Anyway, but you go... You've probably heard of these things, Laurel. You go around to a bunch of exhibitors, get stickers and such. You turn it in, and you enter a prize drawing.
Okay.
So, David, guess what email I got 20 minutes ago?
Well,
you won?
It's a prize, I'm sure, but I haven't the slightest idea what it is.
I won the grand prize.
No way.
I won a Pogo Linux Intel workstation.
Oh, my gosh.
And I literally found out this 20 minutes ago.
Rock on!
Give me a link. Well, I gotta see that.
It's on my it's in my email, so I have to forward that to you, David.
So exciting! Now, are you gonna take that with you to DC?
I've got first of all, I'm leaving in 2.5 days, so I've got my own MacBook. And actually, that leads to my next question, David. What am I going to do with a Pogo Linux Intel workstation?
Give it away.
You're going to sell it.
Yeah, probably.
Get some money for a Mac desktop.
So I haven't even had time because, today I've been...
I don't know. You'll have to just think about it. You'll just have to sit on it and think about what you're going to do because you don't want to make any rash decisions. But that is so cool.
Well, I have to see. This is... random. I'm in the middle of getting ready for this recording. I've been updating our website all day. Here's what it says on OSCON's website. It's a Pogo Linux Intel workstation, Core i7-920 processor, 6 gigabytes of RAM, a 1 terabyte SATA 2 drive, and retails for $2,000.
Oh, my God.
Now, I've never used Linux.
Give it to me. I'm going to have an orgasm here. Oh, I want it.
No. David, I can see the forum topics now. Get Laurel on every single podcast we ever do.
Yes, I can see it now,
you have
too.
To realize that my husband doesn't bring me flowers.
Oh,
when I'm really, really miserable, he brings me terabyte portable hard drives.
Good,
500 gig thumb drives. That turns me on. So this thing is sweet.
I can definitely understand that.
There were like 4 prizes, and that is the grand prize. That's what they send the email. You got the grand prize. So, yeah, I haven't had time to process that yet. I'll probably end up, trying to sell it because I'm going to have to,
be living off my own for the first time ever, starting in a few days. So yeah,
you do have one small bonus in there, in that they haven't shipped it yet. They want you to email them an address where they can ship it to.
Yeah.
But then the question arises: what are you going to do with it?
Send it out somewhere. So we'll deal with that. But that's not why we got Laurel on the show. So I thought I'd mention that,
was
David.
It?
Yeah.
All right. So here's why I got her on the show.
6 gigs RAM. Oh my god.
Okay. All right. I'm better now.
Careful, Laurel. Remember, you just had surgery.
I know.
Deep breath.
I think I finally killed this fly that's been bothering me.
So why am I here?
Deep breath. All right. So one of the things that we've been wanting to talk about.
And that's it for our Best of 2009 Clip Show. We hope you'll continue to stay tuned to PHPBB Weekly in 2010. It's sure to be a big year for our podcast and for PHPBB. We've got a lot of plans in store, which we will be rolling out in the next week. Well, until then, have a very happy new year and a happy new decade. And be sure to join us for our next live episode on Saturday, January 2nd, starting at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time or 1800 UTC Time. We leave you now with a special montage from episode number 107.
Yeah, the one where the front fell off? The front doesn't fall off. The front doesn't fall off at all.
The front wouldn't fall off?
Well, because the front fell off. Well, the front's not supposed to fall off for a start, but the front fell off in this case.
Where did the front fall off?
The front fell off.
The front fell off?
How about you put the front back on? And the front fell off.
The front fell off.
Well, the front fell off.
And the part of the chip that the front fell off. Douglas's front fell off. The front fell off.
My front fell off for one thing.
By all means, that's very unusual. It's a complete void.